Right, g'day, and welcome to another episode of Comp Talk here, where we dissect all the world international bodyboarding competitions currently going down in 2024. I'm joined by my loyal and absolutely smashingly handsome co-host, Sean Gregory Cooper. How the fuck are you, mate?
Ooh, disagree with that a little bit. Don't know about handsome, but thank you anyway. Welcome, mate. Good night. Good evening. There you go.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. No, I mean, don't sell yourself short, mate. You know what I mean? I've seen the younger photos. I've seen the blonde bleached hair. I've seen the whole look down the beach. You were rocking it.
It's true. My missus thinks I'm handsome, so that's all that matters in this world.
So, bloody oath, mate. Locked in.
Fuck about what anyone else says.
Throw away the keys. Locked in. Thank you.
Exactly. There you go, mate. How are you?
Yeah.
How are we traveling?
Yeah, man. Traveling well.
Front. Where were you last week?
Sneaky little trip away from the fam. Stoked to get the pass. But, yeah, went down to the Dez. Had a really good time just cruising the highway and just felt like a free bird again. Lynyrd Skynyrd kind of vibes. it was great to go and get some waves. We missed all that rain, which was sick on the East Coast. And I slept under the stars every night in the swag, and it felt damn good, Sean. It felt real good.
There's nothing better than going away, being a pool guy, a pool man, and knowing that it's raining every single day and you can't work anyway. So it's fucking amazing, eh?
I got to admit, the timing for the trip was ridiculous. I didn't know that rain was coming, obviously, because we booked it a fair way out. But, just with what happened on the East Coast and consistently rain. Man, I went to work today, bro, at a couple of pools around the Shire, and you would not believe underneath some poor fella's house the amount of clay and earth essentially has just slipped away underneath where his filtration system is. I mean, like, I'm getting what I said to him. I go, you better call, like, a structural engineer or something. Like, I reckon you're starting to sink.
No, you know what I mean?
It was that much rain. So it was, to your point, the East Coast got wet.
Yeah. We take our dogs for a walk down at Balambi Beach. There's a dog walking part of the beach. And when you walk down to it, it's like it hasn't rained for 2 or 3 days, but you go down there, it's the water's still coming out of the sand, like just these little mounds. Like it's like all the sand is wet as if it was a massive high tide, but it's just water's just seeping out of the land. It's like, it's gnarly, man. So where's all this water coming from? It's like so much water. It's crazy.
And you guys have got Jurassic Park / kind of mixed with Chopes behind you with that escarpment kind of vibes, Tahitian vibes. So I can imagine all the water that is just flowing out of those mountains down to the coastline around your area at the moment.
I was surfing with my mate Deck the other day, and we looked up at the escarpment, and I was like, what the fuck is that? And it was a waterfall that I have never seen before. It looked like Niagara Falls, and it was just like streaming down the escarpment. The poor people that would have lived under it would have been getting smashed, mate. But a lot of rain.
Yeah, dude. And gushing like the world tour at the moment, and gushing like the national and state bodyboarding scene here in Australia too. We've got a lot to talk about, a lot to dissect, and I reckon we kick off with the recent comp in Chile, Iquique, 2024 IBC World Tour. And it was definitely, in my opinion, from straight off the bat, not throwing shade on it, I really do enjoy that wave. I love watching it. You definitely get bang for buck with aerials. Can get a little bit repetitive at times, but, there was a couple of points of difference we definitely want to talk about. But I kind of think from the get-go, if you could do two backflips on one of those waves, you were getting a 7 or an 8, you know. So I think they had the recipe down pat. And Tristan Roberts, former world champion, has come up with the win, Sean. Jesus.
Yeah, he nearly wasn't there. There was a heat. What was it? We were talking about it before in round 7. And he was against – so Michael Yancey, is he from the junior tour from memory? I'm trying to remember.
I kind of think he has graduated to the big leagues this year from the junior last year.
He has. Yeah, but Mate, he had him. He had two sevens, and Tristan only had a 6.75, and that was he was. I think he went a wave, and then he blew it or something, and then he got, and then Michael got another one, and it was like everyone's cheering on the beach, and then the poor crowd got silenced because he just 30 seconds to go. He got all he needed was a wave, and he basically got it, and he did two flips. Like the first one was a little bit of a safety under the lipper. It was a little bit like, oh, just holding on to that one, and then he came into the end section and did a proper backy, and it was sick, and it was like, oh my god, that was pretty cool. Like that, once again, he's a world champion, you know.
For sure, and you got that emotion out of him. Just see him clench the two fists on the board, and as he was coming in, knowing that, like, you know, he probably knew during that whole competition, he's won the event before. He's got the skill set that we all know that with airs, barrels, of course, too. But his strong point is most certainly airs. And yeah, it would have been such a shame to see him go out relatively early for his standards. I feel in the competition being a past victor there.
Oh, for sure. And like, there's a lot of names that we don't know about that aren't there as well. So he was destined to be in the finals, like at least the quarters. So if he had got beaten, it would have been a huge upset, man. But Mother Nature provided him the big man, and he just kept it going, didn't he?
He did. One man he couldn't keep it going, unfortunately, Sean, and we're discussing again off air before, wondering where Amore Laverne ended up, just in round six, getting pipped into third place. That would have been so disappointing for a man that, you know, obviously he's done so well on the South American leg time and time again. I'm sure he would have wanted a higher placing in that event.
Yeah, that's a little bit uncharacteristic, isn't it? Especially when the waves are good. Like I kind of went through, it's very, as we've said before, it's very hard to, it's impossible for us to watch this whole event. Absolutely impossible. Unless we're unemployed. it runs all night long. And then if you wanted to watch it the next day, there were 7 days of contest. Like it's just so much competition. But the waves are really good on the first day, and then it kind of went average for day two, day three. Day four, I actually couldn't find much on. It mustn't have been very good because they didn't put a highlights thing up, but unless I just didn't find it. But, and then day five and day six, it got heaps better. Day six, day seven. So, and maybe Amore got done by one of those bad days because I couldn't get back to where it actually happened, because he's always one I'm always watching because he's just so good.
So good.
Yeah. And I think we're lucky to have him on the, still following the tour, really. So I think we need to watch him as much as we can, because there's probably going to come a day where he puts those flippers up for a little while and just resurfs. What do you reckon?
Yeah, 100%, man. And I only have doing a potty with him recently, actually, released today. And in that potty, he said, look, there's not many people on the tour with two kids getting close to 40 and trying to run all the other entrepreneurial kind of, you know, arms of his business that he juggles on a regular basis with his schedule. So, yeah, man, like it's great to see he's still got the fire there and burning. I guess having, you know, the current world champ, Tanner McDaniel, absent definitely gave him, would give a lot of the competitors a spur on. But, you know, in saying that too, man, like you look at a couple of these names like Lionel Medina, obviously, you know, epic invert there, and I think it was the semifinals against Jacquin Soto. I always fucking get that wrong. I've been trying to say it all.
Yeah,
and obviously Jacquin himself, you know, surfing out of his skin, some really good backies, did a sick air reverse too in that semifinal that I was like, yes, there's a point of difference there. There's some different moves than just the straight backies or ARSs, and I really like seeing that. And, you know, then coming on to the female side, man, Maya Viana, the Brazilian, like, you know, taking it to another level, and it really meant something to her. Hey, you could see you could see the passion when she won that final.
Yeah. Yeah, the girls were surfing really good. I think that's a really good event for the girls in general. The like the wave itself. So I've been there quite a few times, and it's one of those waves that's it's critical. The end section's quite like it's heavy. Like it's like it's kind of got that surge type vibe to it, where it's a really shallow reef ledge at the end, and it's got urchins and it's hard. It's got that hard rock feel. You know what I mean? It's not like a soft, but like the wave's not too out there insanely critical or scary. Like it's more like it's a performance wave. And I think we saw that with the girls. Like we saw ARSs, some Joanna good Schenker. Kits. Yeah, Joanna Schenker. The other one I don't want to forget because she surfed really good with the helmet on. Was it
Alexandra Ronda?
Yeah, like she was ripping, mate. She was surfing really good on the lefts. And I think. Do you know what I mean? Like I think that it was a performance wave where they could, they weren't held back at all, and they really went for it, and it showed in the performance. And I thought that was a really big positive for the event, in my opinion.
Dude, definitely. And Vianna's large role in the final there, you know, really. Really hitting like a huge section there on like a larger set wave of the day, and like looping that around. You could tell that it was, kind of focusing so much, as you said, on like performance and showcasing that through all divisions. Really, like it was great to see. And everyone got their chance. Really, it looked like it was really consistent. As you said, there was a lot of there was a couple of days there. Sorry, not a lot, a couple of days where you probably didn't have the ideal conditions, but. Running so many heats and so many rounds and all that sort of stuff, you're obviously going to run into some sort of, downtime, so to speak. But, all in all, watching back on the comp, it was definitely entertaining. I guess just the only thing, again, is, the constant backflips. Like we saw one spin into the pit, which I think it was from Patricio, that was epic, and like he was in there for a very long time, pushed him right back on the foam ball, and he shot out the end like a bullet flying out of a fucking rifle. But that was the only one that I kind of saw, Coops, you know what I mean? Like there wasn't those, like, correct me if I'm wrong, as you're coming down those sections, say you do a backflip on the first, but you've surfed this wave, as you said, you've been to Chile numerous times, you're the guy with the experience here. Like, can you whack a forward after one of those maneuvers to kind of link things up in between? Like, could you easily spin in underneath the lip on some and then look at it? You know what I mean? Is it doable, or am I just missing something?
No. Like, maybe on the smaller days it looked more like, okay, you're in a contest, there's a bowl there, you've got to just focus on that. And the wind didn't look as great on the first one or two, like two or three days, day two, day three. But on the last 2 days, it's actually a really good barreling wave. And I didn't see a lot of guys actually trying to ride the pit at all. I did see one or two, especially on the last day. There was one, a guy got spat out of a pit, and I was like, oh, that was cool. Like, I'm glad he just focused on that, on getting pitted. But absolutely, you could definitely spin into a pit. Like, I would have thought it would be a bit more barrel riding. That's what I would have thought, because it's got a good tube section. And the bit at the end, it's got Backy written all over it, really. Like, it's like you got heaps of speed coming off the outside bit, and it goes in and it ledges over and just goes to that real cuppy, bowly section. And with that speed and that line you've got, I understand, like, it would be the go-to, which is what they, 95% of them did. But I reckon there's opportunities to do everything on that wave, really. And that's what we're lacking in seeing, hey. Like, it's like, yeah, like two backflips on one wave. Yeah, okay. Well, I saw one guy do a backflip and landed kind of back into the pit and then came out, and that was cool. And but no, like forwards, even like a forward, like air forward into the end bit, or a couple of innies, which was nice.
Yeah,
I definitely appreciated that. Tristan and actually Jack in doing the reverses.
So yeah, and it Tristan was like did one out of the bowl too, bro. That's one I missed. That is definitely a highlight of the comp, because that's a hard thing to do.
Yeah, like I think it got underscored really for what it was.
What did it get scored?
Well, the problem was is they did a thing on Instagram where they split it. They split two waves of his. He got maybe that got scored right, but I think the backflip got overscored. So he got an 8. Or let's just say he got an 8.5, right? So he got, and it said two waves the same, and they split screen it. And he did a reverse out of the bowl and then landed and then did a roll. And then on the other wave, he just did a backflip, one backflip, and then just pulled off. And they got scored the same. And it was like Tristan surfing against himself, but he still can't beat his backflip.
I know. The scale like, there is pretty good
come
out.
Come on, man. Yeah, it just gets a bit repetitive, because it's such a high-performance wave that, yeah, but in saying that, on the things that we saw, there were like a few inverts going down and things like that. So that was a breath of fresh air. But there was a lot of backflips, man. I thought the good ones were good though. The ones that were like out into the flats, like that Jacquin did one in, I think the quarters or something, and it was sick. Like it was in the flats. His legs were crossed, super smooth, bounced, and then came around. And where he actually did that on the wave, that part of the wave is quite critical, because I'm not sure what the tide was, but there's not a lot of water there. So he landed like right in the flats. So it's that in real life, that actually would have looked really, really good. So, yeah, they're trying. The boys are trying. Got to give it to them.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Definitely not throwing any, like, you know, too many harsh and negative vibes or comments towards it. It's just, you know, the thing we've mentioned time and time again, it's that variation in the repertoire of moves that you want to see. And that variation repertoire in the moves leads to natural progression in the sport. And it just doesn't seem like at the moment that's been rewarded by the judges, or, you know what I mean? But I mean, yeah, you got to pander to the judges. You got to make sure that you're ticking off their criteria. And if that's what's laid out in front of them, that's what you got to do as an athlete. And then with the juniors, man, you had Mikel Arriagada from Chile, like a local fella, getting it done, and getting it done in style. Like he was definitely looking sharp on his rail. He's obviously surfed the wave time and time again. And, he was enjoyable to see what he was doing.
Yeah, once again, same thing as the women. I think this event suits all the riders, and it's – like I think this is better than Antofagasta, and Antofagasta is a bigger contest, I think. So like, I remember we talked about that last year. We're like, I kind of get Antofagasta. It suits everyone. It suits the juniors, the women, and the open and the men's. But this one, the wave is better, more high performance, and it lets everyone. I think they'd be all stoked getting through, because they're actually enjoying surfing the wave. You know, so, and that's something to say for the event itself, I think, because Iquique is one of those places that it's always got waves, and that wave it picks up a fair bit of swell. So like, even on those small days, that if anyone saw the small days, that would be actually almost rock bottom for Chile for how big it gets. So it doesn't really ever get dead flat. So they're really, really lucky. And if they're going to have a contest that's a 10-day waiting period, and they've got 7 days of contest to get through, they're in the right place, really. And the wind actually doesn't come up that badly in that town either. So it's a massive, it's an amazing event. So, yeah, and the juniors, they would have been frothing, mate. Like, and it looked like the atmosphere on the beach when they came in and when he won, it looked pretty sick.
Oh, there was, he had a flare in his hand within 30 seconds. Yeah, like, mate. The boys were celebrating. And
you see those flares like once a week, like that's a thing over there.
Like, let's celebrate, let's go kind of shit. And dude, like, why not? You're in Chile, you're obviously one of your home breaks, sick conditions. And it was an all Chilean final in the juniors. Bastian Venegas putting up a really good performance too, surfed really well throughout the comp. But back to Miguel, he was one of the lone individuals I felt watching that he found a lot of barrel time, and he was actually prioritizing the barrel a fair bit. Still doing sick moves, but yeah, I remember watching two or three of his waves throughout his campaign in this comp, and yeah, he definitely felt like he was looking for the pit and honing it, and then getting moves out in the end, which is the best of both worlds, really.
Yeah, exactly. Like I reckon some of the men blew that. Like, they could have been getting pitted almost the whole way, maybe a little bit of downtime in the middle, but like that, it's because they're always looking for the backy, because that's what scores the most. Do you know? Like, and then that takes away from something that, oh, I don't know. Like that's mate. When I surf the wave, I was just getting pitted the whole time. Every now and then, I'd do something off the end. But it's a sick pit wave, especially out the back. The back bit can be big and heavy, and you can sit really deep and come out and then come flying out, and then you got this whole wall down the line looking at you. So, yeah, anyway, whatever. Like, that's,
you sound like you're barring up talking about it, Sean Cooper. Like, you want to get back there anytime soon, brother?
Mate, I'd love to. There's a left-hander across the bay, so you surf Punta Dos on high tide, and then across the bay there's a left-hander called Intendencia, and it breaks on low tide. So if there is a swell, you can go from one side of the bay to the other, and literally get some of the best waves. Like, the left is one of the best waves I've ever surfed, mate. It's so good. The only thing that'll get you is the wind, but you can kind of get this insane high performance right, and then go to a heavy. It's kind of like a suck rock vibe, like a bomby, and it just comes out of deep water, and it's such a sick left. Like, you'd love it. Oh my god,
frothing in the mouth, bro. Frothing in the mouth. Almost sounds like a Java setup there. We got the left and the right, and in real close proximity. Is it?
Man. Yeah, you could. Yeah, absolutely. And then there's about it's like a Hawaii type stretch where there's other waves down the as you keep going back down into town. There's a tow wave it kind of pinches when it's massive, but that's pretty spectacular. And then there's another wave behind where the comp was. It's this massive left hander that's like psycho. But it's been featured in a few videos now. When I was there, I was watching it going, man, someone's going to surf this one day. But it was like 1 in 10 were good. I'm talking like hectic left-hander, like really heavy. But like, not every wave was good. So like, if you went, you were, you could be in some trouble. But if you got the right wave, you'd probably get the wave of your life almost. It was that good.
So it was almost playing Russian roulette with the ocean.
Pretty much, because you just have to go. Like, you wouldn't be able to tell if it's going to be good or not. But yeah, pretty. I think Stuart surfed it a few years ago from memory.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was in a video. But
hasn't he surfed, eh?
Exactly. I think he was living in Iquique.
He was for a bit, wasn't he? Didn't he have a missus over there or something?
I think so.
Sausage Chilean. Delicious.
Bloody.
Why not?
Pisco sours on the balcony. Loving it.
A
piss goes sour in Mike Stewart's hand, just fucking after being powered off his head all morning. He's got his piss go. He's got his new missus. Yeah. He's got the whole town looking up at him on the balcony. Like, the king has returned.
Fully. I should mention, so while we're talking about a kicker, there was something on there that some people might not know about, but it's called the Whitman Athlete Zone. And they actually had this, it was like a performance award, a Whitman Performance Award. And that's actually a rider. It was a local rider that I met many times. He was a really, really good friend of mine. And he unfortunately took his own life, I think it was last year or the year before. And I heard a story about it, and it was really horrible. It actually really rattled me when it happened, because he was one of those larger-than-life guys, like the most amazing, one of the best guys I actually ever met on my travels. And it was one of those guys, whenever I went back to Iquique, I knew he would be there. He was the guy that was surfing every single day at the good waves, because there's another wave down there that's more for the Groms. And he was always on it. And you were always like, oh, at least Whitman will be out there tomorrow morning, so it'll be sweet. And I actually thought that was really cool, the way they were paying respect to him, because he was like literally the king of the town. And it's just so sad that he's not with us anymore. But that was hats off to them for doing that. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, that is heaps cool. I'm incorporating something like that in, and respecting and honoring someone who was such a heavy player in the community and obviously influenced so many people. I can actually remember being in a pool with you at Corrimal when you got that news, and we're on our
That was, it rattled me, eh? Because I mean, we're at that age that not too many people that I know have passed, but. And when it happens, it's just, I suppose we're getting to I'm getting to that age where we'll start to hear people drop off, maybe.
Coops, you're in your 40s, bro. Like, come on. You want to have a good couple of fucking decades in you yet. You got a bit of life, and you just won the Headlands fucking Cold Coast Bodyboard Club, the inaugural one. Like, you'll be fine, mate.
Yeah, I hope so, mate.
hey, let's quickly recap that. We should really recap that, man, because we haven't spoken about it. We talked it up, but we haven't actually gone over what the day was like and what all the the hard work you guys put in. Let's talk to the Presidente. We've got him on the line.
We're talking about a high-performance right-hander, and we might as well just flip it from the IBC to the Cold Coast Bodyboard Club. Why not? Our first contest, so it's a quick funny story. It was scheduled for it was scheduled when the box comp was on, the Box Fest comp was on. And I had this gut feeling that it wasn't the right thing to do, so I said, oh, you know what? Let's move it to the next available, like, because you have a backup date. And I went, all right, well, so we'll move it to that. And then what ends up happening? A 50-year storm comes through on the Saturday, or on the Friday night, actually. And it's like, oh, my God, like, there's a swell coming, but this storm doesn't look good. And the Cold Coast, and I'm pretty sure the Shire as well, got absolutely smashed, like flooded. Like, people lost their houses, man. That was so heavy, eh? Like, was it bad in the Shire? I can't remember.
It definitely was. I think our totals were close to like 200, but you guys hit 250 mil mark, and I think the fall rate down your way, looking back at the stats, because I was just blown away by how much rain had actually fallen. You guys were getting like an inch to 2 inches an hour at some stage, and like that's 2.5 centimeters to 5 centimeters. Like That's crazy rain, man. Like, that is, as you said, washing away people's houses. So I think you guys got fucked more than us.
Yeah, I do. I honestly feel like it was a stage where we must have been in the eye of it, because my wife and I woke up to, like, it was as loud as rain can be. It was so bad. And then we woke up to all these messages of literally every low point was flooded. Like, every single town that was at the lowest point was underwater. Like,
is that Winoona?
Like, really bad. Winoona, mate, all of them. Corrimal, Winoona, Thirroul, Ostermere,
Colcliffe got smashed. The road got smashed. It was like, oh my god, this is, here we go, like this is crazy. So anyway, that happened, and we woke up on the Saturday to the waves were massive, like really big, stormy. The water was brown, and it was like, what are we going to do? But you could see that it was going to taper off, and so we just called the comp on. We had to call the grommets off because it was a bit gnarly, Charlie. And mate, we had an all-time day, basically. Like, it was a dream, because we always talked about having an event down here when the swell would actually work out to be one of those days where it's kind of good all day. And the wind was forecast to be a bit iffy, and it just never hit, did it? Like, it was basically glassy all day long.
Oh, man, it was unbelievable. Like, yeah, you'd feel the puff go light variable and then it'd stop again. And, you know, and even so, like, that wave headlands, like, it just seems to barrel. If it's 40 knot onshore at certain parts of the wave. So, like, you especially were picking the eyes out of it, man. It was such a pleasure to be there, participate, bomb out in the first round, which was fucking great, Luke. Pat yourself on the back. And then but honestly, like, it didn't even matter. And it, like, you know, you get disappointed in yourself and whatever, but the day itself was just being like, the families were down there, bro. The vibe was happening. The sun was shining. You guys put on such a spread with, like, so many cool, like, activations. Like, you had the Groms going in. You had, like, Brendo and Corey Oliver leading the way down there, and everyone jumping in and getting a, you know, 20, 30 Groms just running out of the ocean with bodyboards on the shore there. You had all the families and wives and even husbands on the grill, on, like, the marshalling tent, on the judging, you know, we had people swapping in and out of commentating. Like, Brendo was killing it on the mic for a long time there. Like, you had an ice cream truck rock up, and I got some sprinkles and fucking a flake in my cone, bro. Like, it was a great day.
I know. It like, I mean, Brendo was owning the mic. I hadn't even thought about commentary, to be honest. I got it set up, and then I was like, all right, I'll just throw that over there and see what happens. And then Brendo just turns it on, and he owned it. And then he gave it to you for a little bit because he had to go out. And then he took it back on later. And then Declan McMullen, actually, he uncharacteristically bombed out of his local wave that arguably the guy that surfs it more than anyone. And he took the mic as well and owned it for the finals. It was amazing, mate, because it brought everyone was like, it lifted the whole crowd, you know what I mean? And I think we're just buzzing a bit because we just haven't had an event like that down our way for years and years and years, if ever, in a way, for bodyboarding. So, yeah, hats off to everyone for that actually came. And thanks to Mother Nature, man, because
4 to 6 foot, bro. Like, pumping.
4 to 6 foot all day. Like, the final, just to talk about the final quickly, everyone was getting a bit tired because it was quite a few rounds, and we're out there in the final, and we all kind of knew each other. There was five of us. It was Alex Bunting, the core lord from Tamarama, Idris, Chris Ebeck. So he's a bodyboarder. He lives in Bawley Point now, and he used to live up here, and we used to surf together every day. And he knows the wave really, really well. So he had this special connection with the actual wave itself. And then who came in second was Safiro. He's actually from Argentina. And I don't know his last name, but he's got to be the coolest dude you'll ever meet, like super chilled. But he's one of those like super stylish, smooth, like it doesn't do anything out of place type rider, like super tech, you know what I mean? And he was on fire all day long. Like, I saw him get a wave in his first heat where he got pitted from the top of the point all the way down. It was one of those double ups that you were like, oh my god, this one's gonna do it. And he was just sitting in the pocket the whole way and just came out the very, very last second. And but we were all out there, mate, and like Brendo was taking photos and we got a group shot, and like we were all just taking turns. No one hustled anyone. We were all just like screaming at each other. Like it was literally a matter of whoever got that wave that was going to be a bit better was going to do better than that person. It had nothing to do with actually competing. It was more about just whoever got the wave that won. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You've been a bit humble there, Sean. We all know that you know how to fucking read that wave like your fucking work diary on a Monday morning. Like, you are sorted, brother, when it comes to that patch of reef. And the moves you were throwing out, backies and the lofty air forward, one of the hardest moves to do in the game in the final. Save the best for last. Up the fucking guts. Up Colt goes bodyboarding and up the fucking king of headies, I say.
Oh, mate, how rigged is that? The president of the contest that just was created won the first one. What the fuck? How many people mate. Were like, oh, yeah, good on
it's,
you, mate.
Mate, it sent shockwaves to the community. There was just legal action being put left, right, and center. It was rigged. It was fucking rigged.
Oh, my God. Fuck them all.
I
tell you what, the amount of stress I had that day from, especially from the day before with the floods and that, I was like cleaning out under my house because it was flooded, and it was like, okay, we've actually got to make a decision here and all this. The stress I had in my head was insane, and it was like, I can't wait for my heat because then I can just go surfing and forget about all this because it doesn't matter anymore. And then you get in the heat. I think you would have probably thought this too, but it was kind of like you want to get through the heat because then you get to surf again. Like it wasn't about winning. It was like, I want to surf again. Like, because I obviously can't come out and free surf here. So that was the biggest positive for me, to be honest. That the rest of it was a bonus, but everything, it was cool, man. I'm stoked. And I feel bad that we just talk about it, our bodyboard club, because there's so many good bodyboard clubs in Australia and they're all doing an amazing job. So hats off to you all. But we should talk about the other bodyboard club, Newcastle Newey. Bodyboard Club, that just ran a Groms event.
Yeah, man, the next gen comp. And we had some pretty legit stars rocking up on the shores of Newcastle. The Nova Cashions would have been laying the red carpet out and clapping them in. Tanner McDaniel, current world champion, 9 times world champion, Mike Stewart turning up to give the next gen a helping hand. Like, it's a sick initiative from the Newcastle Bodyboarding Club. We all know Johnny Cruikshank, how passionate he is, and obviously he would have been a key player organising everything behind the scenes there. You had Jimmy Lear as the fourth coach. So I think they had coaches of Tanner McDaniel, Mike Stewart, Jimmy Lear and Johnny Cruikshank, all with a certain allocated colour, and then each Grom in the comp. Was there 32 of them, Coops, I think we counted?
32 grommets under 18s.
Yep, got given a colour, and then they were taken out in like a variety of kind of challenges and games in some pretty intense conditions. Like, you know, it looks like there was a fair bit of swell for the comp. You had Anthony Miller taking it out, which, you know, hit that man is on a tear. He's a 16-year-old making his way all the way through to national bodyboarding competition and in the Shark Island Challenge this year. So it was only fitting for him to take out that next gen comp. But yeah, man, like just really good to see that everyone got a kick out of that. And you had Terry McKenna down there really talking it up. And there was prize money, like, you know, 15, yeah, 16, 17-year-olds, they're getting prize money, which is such a good kick in the right direction.
I reckon this is like the first really good step in Australia to going back on the right path, because they used to do this years ago with the junior. They had a junior series, they just had junior events as well, where it was capped at under 18. And that's where you see, because once these guys go into the, if there's no other events and they've got to go in the opens, it kind of, you go out into the jungle type thing. It's quite, you're turning into a big thing, whereas they can all surf against each other and push each other at the same age group. That's just going to build a whole generation, mate. It's so sick. I'm so stoked for them that they did it.
Oh, man, me too. Even had Garth McGregor down there, giving everyone a helping hand. The community came together. Like, it's just, Yeah, it's exactly what you want to see. And surely those Groms were just losing their mind looking up at Mike Stewart and Tanner McDaniel going, like, is this real? Like, is this real? We have two Hawaiians with 10 world championships between them here on the shores of Newcastle giving us a rundown on, you know, what's good bodyboarding and how we can improve our skills. Like, giddy up, eh? Giddy up.
Oh, mate, how good's that? That's all Johnny Cruikshank, Luke Beaton from Newcastle Bodyball Club. Like, they killed it. Well done, boys, because and they timed it perfectly knowing that Mike was coming out and Tanner. So it's, you know, hats off to them. And on topic, while they're all out here, if we get a swell, we might run a HL Headlands contest as well. We've got the approval to do it from my our bodyboard club down here. So I'm kind of like looking at a little invite list, Lukey boy, to get a few of the boys from the comp down. And I reckon they'd be frothing, mate. What do you reckon?
Oh, mate, they would just be fucking knocking down your door and just demanding spots. They'd be demanding rashies and, like, you know, comp signing sheets before they even get down to Headlands. Like, I'm being serious here. They would jump at that because, again, it's a unique wave. It's when it's on, we all know how good it is. And it's one of those zones that really is just made for bodyboarding. You know, there's a lot of other different waves around it where you can mix both crafts up or various disciplines in the ocean. But Headlands, you know, is just one of those waves that just hugs like a horseshoe, constantly provides, you know, steep, barrely, kind of gurgly sections that you can hook into, tricky wave to read. And then when you get that read on it, you can just be rewarded. So, yeah, like we all saw from the first Cold Coast Club comp that it's a high performance wave, so you get the world's best there. You'd put on a full show.
Oh, for sure. Well, the thing, like, that was very nice what you said about the wave. She's so beautiful. But the good thing about it as an event is you can push on through difficult conditions, whereas somewhere like Shark Island needs to be absolutely right. You know what I mean? Like when we got tides and winds and et cetera. Whereas down there, you can kind of push through those two elements and still have a pretty good result. Now, that's where I kind of feel like if we got a certain swell, we could pull it off. But I'm kind of going to impulse it because are we going to get a big east swell?
Well, man, if you look at what's been happening with the charts recently, like we've got a fair bit of activity over the next 10 days. We've been scouring them, obviously. Sads, Mark Sadler, Sam Van and myself, just making sure that we're on top of all the swells that are coming because the waiting period does open up on the 23rd of May for the SIC. But, it's close. Yeah, it's super close.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty much a week away. Mate, I am... Thursday, so it starts on the launch party night. Mate, dude, we are sweating like gypsies with fucking mortgages at the moment, mate. I'm telling you now, like we are just like feverishly trying to run around and make sure all the boxes are ticked to know that we're all good to go, like logistically. But I guess looking at the forecast too, there are a couple of days coming up that are definitely marginal at the moment, but there's still potential there. And we all know, like with everything that's going on this weekend, how much swells can change and how many, little factors come into play and then it could just switch it right around. So, yeah, it's getting ready to go time.
Yeah, look, unfortunately, from my experience from the last 48 hours I've been looking because we're running a contest on Sunday. It changed so many times, like drastically. By 2 days it changed. So like one swell was going to be on the Monday, which then changed to the Saturday, and the winds went from here to there and everywhere. And I was like, oh, which I get it. Like that's just weather patterns, isn't it? But look, it's probably going to be a little bit stressful, mate, but you're the man for the job. It's as simple as that, mate. You just fucking don't worry about it. You'll be fine. And
thanks, dude.
Can you
Is it the 23rd? So it's exactly a week from today because we're
talking about it. It's exactly, exactly, bruh.
Oh, my God. I'm so psyched.
I know. It's coming up so quick, eh?
And tell me, like, do you remember you're on the 23rd? Do you remember you said there was a week there that gets a bit funny for the Tides? When what week was that?
It's pretty much after this week. So, like, these are really good tides for us from the 23rd to, like, the 30th or 31st of May. And then after that, early June isn't as favourable for tides. Still opportunity. Yeah, but way less compared to kind of mid to late June. But, I mean, anything can work, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to have ideal. It's more so if the swell's east enough and the wind's offshore. Obviously, the tide's a huge factor. We don't want people just surfing on dry rock at a 0.3 or 0.4, you know, low tide. But if we just, you know, and as you were saying before, with the weather patterns changing so much recently, that's kind of almost a good sign because you know then that they're cutoff lows or deep depressions forming off the coast that have a lot of variability to them. But then when they are forming like that, they can become those classical east coast lows that you really want. So, yeah, it's fucking trying to pick the eyes out of it, make it happen. But it's just the...
If you could get a crystal ball, right, and say, and you could type into it, like, exactly what you want, like, do you want southeast or do you want east-southeast or do you want east?
Well, I definitely... Direction. If you ask Andrew Lester, east-southeast, for me, I definitely... Because I remember asking that. The reason I say that is because I remember at an endless signing when I was, like, 12 or 13, I remember asking Lester... And he wouldn't remember this, but I remember asking him, like, so what swell direction you want from the island? Do you want, like, south or south, southeast? Or I would have even said something more ridiculous than that. And he's like, no, like, you definitely want a lot of east in it and all that sort of stuff. So I guess the perfect direction in his eyes is east, southeast. And I would have to agree because it definitely takes away from the washing factor from those big south peaks that just go rogue across the island and kind of miss surge. But for a perfect comp, you almost want 10 more southeast, really lined out, and just big pitching peaks coming in and chipping into, like, you know, 6-foot peaks, chipping into 8-foot or possibly 10-foot runners over White Rock and surge. East southeast provides a lot more unpredictability when it comes to what you're going to get, and I guess that's amazing for viewing and watching too, but maybe for a more high performance kind of wave for wave blow, you kind of want a little bit more to the southeast. But anywhere between 130 to maybe like 110 105 degrees would be probably ideal.
What about, is it under 100 getting just too straight?
You could have 100. I think when you're starting getting towards 90, you're probably looking at cancelling out the peak and focusing more on chip-ins at White Rock into surge, which can also be amazing viewing and, like, make for some incredibly technical rides in some beastly waves. But in my opinion, it cancels out that one part of the wave where you really want to go from peak White Rock to surge. There's so many different waves out there you can catch, but the ultimate one in my eyes personally is coming in from the peak, setting up with a carve or a forward like Kingy would do, and then sorting yourself out over just rifling White Rock, coming in behind surge, either running that barrel all the way out to the over the, like, gurgly bit in the high line, or boosting a move out in the end. That's what I would see is, like, a really good wave out there.
So you remember 2016, the brown water, big East Coast low, the one where you get that, you've got an insane photo from. It's ridiculous, actually. What was that? That was pretty east, eh?
It was, man. It was. And we were the guinea pigs that first went out in that first heat. And it was... Yeah, again, that for me, that was like a pretty much dead east or possibly even east nor-east. I think it had just swung around to like 90 or 92 or 3 degrees that day. So it was really straight on. And I just, for everyone listening out there, I've never experienced waves like that in my life where the fetch stretched all the way from up in Queensland, like I think mid to far Queensland, like near Cape York, all the way down to Victoria into Tasmania on the East Coast. That is the biggest east-northeast fetch I've ever seen in my life. I think Swellnet coined it the black east-northeaster, and it had so much power in that swell that it felt like you're on a conveyor belt going down the waves and you weren't moving. There was actually a free surf session the day before, and I got a pretty decent one that day, which I was stoked. I blew both my fins off in the end. I had to kind of get rescued in the channel by Tabone and Leon on the ski when they were shooting for content for the Instagram before the challenge ran. And I remember Pino getting this escalator one where he just, you know, standard Pino just bossed it and somehow got out of it. Michael Novi got that crazy drop where he just got obliterated on Gleeso's Instagram recently of that real brown water one. So, you know, going back to that comp, I think it was a great comp. It had a lot of powers, bullshit waves, but it's probably a bit too east in my opinion.
So do you remember that swell? And it was like a 3-day swell, yeah? Did you do 2 days of the comp or one?
2 days for the 2016.
You did 2 days, hey? So I remember that. And remember the very, very first day of the swell? Did you run that day, or that was the day that the Red Bull comp ran?
That was the Red Bull comp day. Yeah, that ran that day, and then we ran the following day, then the day after.
And that was the day that you guys went out. Like, that day was bigger, eh?
It was. It definitely was. And there was, yeah, I mean, yeah.
It was massive down here, mate. Like, it was unsurfable down on the Gold Coast. Remember that day? I drove the whole coast and it was huge.
Yeah, I know. So much power, mate. The next day
was scored. Like, it just dropped off that enough to be big, but, like, sick. Like, that swell was amazing, mate.
Did you go to one of those more famous beaches around your way in that sort of swell?
Yeah.
I thought you would have. That would have been off its teats, like Porto Escondido vibes.
Yeah, I didn't get much work done that way. I was doing a job in Engadine, and I was turning up at like midday, and I think you must have just thought I was just something wrong with me or something. I was, hey man, how you going? Yeah, I had something to do this morning. And I did it the whole week because it was pumping.
Yeah, what do you do, man? Like, with a week like that, like, look, put it this way. It's a one in, I'm not going to put a number on it, but a one in so many years swell, because we surfed the day before the Cape Fear comp ran, and we surfed the island in that free surf. Dad drove me and my brother over to Bundina boat ramp, and we surfed underneath the ferry platform there. And there was catamarans and boats and sailing boats getting washed up, de-anchored, and getting washed up on the cliffs around us. I remember Jack Baker coming out on a bodyboard. I booged for a bit, then I took the stand up out for a bit. We were surfing through the piers where the Bundo ferry comes in. Like, I've never seen waves like that in my life, like that ever.
So just sticking to the – just quickly, who won that one?
Mitch Rollins.
Oh, yeah, he did too. And what was the format? Like, was it heats?
No, it was the surf twice, dally up your scores and kind of move that way. So yeah, it was tally up your scores, and then you would be then placed into a final. And I know, do you know what I mean? It was Rawlins, Pino, Finlay, and was it Cramsey's? Maybe. But I remember at one stage, because I had the pleasure of beach announcing that comp too in between heats. And I remember Pino was so agonizingly close to taking that 2016 challenge out. And I think Rawlins got away within the last 5 minutes or so. That was just an absolute heaver. Rode it so well away from the peak through White Rock and into like one of the rare ones you could kind of get the whole way through. And he just picked the eyes out of it and did the Mitch Rawlins thing. And you know, that's another, mate. It's another watch.
Imagine, like, like, how cool. That's what an amazing feeling, and someone's going to get that feeling soon.
Because I know.
You're going to get that swell again. Like, it's 2016, so it's just every, what is it, 8 years?
8 years, yeah. I'll take 8 years increments for sure. 8 years increments. But, dude, another comp that's also gone down as of recent, and I just want to throw like a shout out to this one because I've competed in a couple of times and really enjoyed it. I think you've competed in it too. The Jeff Wilcox Memorial went down on the 7th and 8th of May.
Yeah, you wouldn't be an Australian if you hadn't at least been in that event once. Like, it was when we were growing up, that was part of the leg. You had to do it. Like, everyone did it. Rawlins did it, Jono, Joel Taylor, like, all of them would come down for that event. It's an amazing, I can't believe how long it's been going for. So yeah, kudos to them. And what, Johnny Cruikshank come? He come second or third?
He came third. Still going. I just want to correct myself real quick. It was the 4th and the 5th of May. Sorry, that was on the weekend. And yeah, to Johnny. Johnny is, man, he just keeps reinventing himself every year. Like, just the keenness and the froth never leaves that bearded Novocastrian face of his. And like, he just, yeah, he just gets it done. And like, as we were talking before, and like the next gen comp, leading the way there, and then backing it up with results the weekend prior with, it was a third place in the open men's, I'm pretty sure. Yep, third place. So we had first place Nathan Price, second place Silas Gansia, third place Johnny Cruikshank, and fourth place Chase Thompson. So, and Chase looks pretty young, man. He looks like a Grom that's, definitely got a bright future ahead of him. And moving on to the chicks, we've definitely got, 1 second, we had first place Catalina Soto, second place from Cronulla, Mariko Menzies. Shout out to Matt Menzies and the crew back home making it happen. Some of the Kings boots going around. So sick. Third place, Milika Ivic, and fourth place, Cheryl Arnold. So, good turnout for the women's there. And there was so many different divisions. You know, you got the Groms here. In the juniors division, first place, Chase Thompson took out the juniors whilst placing fourth in the open men's. Second place, Archer Thomas. Shout out to Cold Coast. Cold Coast own there, brother. Like, you know, he must be pretty stoked on that.
Yeah, well, he does. He's a machine. His old man used to surf down. Like, he was from down here, so that's where the connection is. And he wants him to surf waves down here as well, because I think, because they're from Port, they surf a lot of beaches. But obviously, I'm not sure if he'd be part of our team's challenge. I'm pretty sure he'd probably be doing Port Macquarie because that's his club. But I'd be trying very, very fucking hard to take him in if we were in the team's challenge. Because he's a bit of a gun. I love it.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Good to have just talent around the traps anyway. And so third place for the juniors, Karen Olmers, Thomas McCulloch, and fourth place, Hardy Fletcher. Tessa McKenna's backed up again, and just he's comp here, comp there, comp everywhere. Man just lives out of a suitcase on the road. Grandmasters division winners, mate, Wade Borey, just sending it. And another man that's just got froth ringing from ear to ear, taking out first place. Second place, Nathan Davis. Third place, Shane Chalker. And fourth place, Sean Gregory. And
Sean Gregory, for real?
Sean Gregory, bro. Sean Gregors.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, that's half of my name. So that's cool.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, Dev, I thought you knew him other than.
No. He's just commenting on his name. How good's that? And Shane Chalker, mate. He's been there since the 90s as well. So he's a foster, born and bred.
Once a booger, always a booger, eh?
You know it, eh? You know it.
100%. I know. Master division winner, man. Second last division. We've got Dan Kirkman taking out first place. Josh's brother there doing it locally for the Foster crew. Silas Gansia took out second. Wade Borey, keen again in third. And fourth place. Mate,
Yeah, and fourth place, Rick James. Wade Borey, he's a man on a mission. In the last division, drop knee division winners. You know, he's won before. I think he's won this comp numerous times now.
And the king himself.
And, Grant Maloney. Great art.
Grant Maloney. I'll tell you a quick story, Grant Maloney. He beat me going drop knee in a prone comp.
What?
In Port Macquarie, yes. So we were in a comp it was at Breakwall. Idris still reminds me of this. You remember when he got beaten by Grant Maloney doing drop knee? Like, that's how shit I was surfing. No disrespect. One of the most amazing drop knees you'll ever see. But it was like, it was at a time where, you know, you should be able to beat a drop knee, really, because drop knees are, they can only do so much, yeah? Like, and he was fucking ripping, mate, and I just got smashed by him, mate, and I was just like, kudos, mate. And he's a really old friend. I really like that guy. And his brother is a really good surfer, and he was in the teams event at Burley this year. Did you say that?
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, he's a really good surfer. He surfed for North Shelley, and they ended up coming second. So that was a cool story.
Yeah, and that's a tough club to be in, I've heard. Fair bit of grit and determination in that club. taking one out of the swell-ins there. Second place, Brandon Dawson. Third place, Keegan Cronin. And fourth place, Adam Cheers. Cheers, cunts. That's drop quality.
It's not dead, is it? It's not dead, mate. It's coming back.
Oh, 110%. And, dude, sorry, I've left something out here. Cadet division. So you had juniors and cadets. First place, Archer Toms, has just taken out first place there. Second place, Hardy Fletcher. Third place, Sonny Williams. And fourth place, Kai Atkinson. So, yeah, giddy up. And they've had a fair few sponsors jump on board there, eh? You know, you've got the Bellevue Hotel, which has always been a great supporter of the event. D5 Bodyboard Shop, as always. The Natural Waffle Ice Cream Parlor, would not mind one. You know, Bluey's Pizzeria, No Bull Gourmet's Meats. Like, fuck, every local's jumping on board this epic competition. So, yeah, hats off to the crew who made it happen. And, and it's so good now in this day and age. Like, obviously, you and me aren't at these comps, and we're kind of just doing our research and talking to the right people and getting the inside scoop, so to speak, no pun intended. But, like, these things are so well set out on Instagram now, and so well sorted. Like, you know, when you can just go back through an event, you can see heat scores, you can see, you know, different divisions, you can see how it was all played out and the conditions they had. Like, it's really cool.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, I think when the clouds clear a little bit with the kids, and hopefully they kind of, you know, in the bodyboard club, they decide that they actually want to compete. I'm keen as to go back to these comps. It's just when you've got young kids that it gets a little bit difficult. But as they grow up, mate, I'm in. You and me, let's jump in your bus and take the kids and go and have a couple of heats and a couple of B&E rolls with Terry McKenna. I can't wait, mate.
100% have a chin wag with that, but yeah, I'm all for it. I think it's good signs for things to come, and let's just keep talking about these epic events that go down locally, because, you know, as you highlighted in a couple of comp episodes ago, that you know, there is a bit on the Australian calendar. It's not just always talked about and kind of summarized all together. So I think what we're doing here in these comp talks, not just focusing on the IBC, but, you know, everything all around up and down the coast, is probably, you know, the difference that at least Riptide Media and ourselves could be making to try and get everyone, you know, on the same page. So shout out to any board riders clubs, bodyboard clubs out there that want to send any info in or link us to Instagram pages or Facebook pages. We would happily do our research, speak to anyone who'd been at the event, look back at some footage and just give a wrap up of the comp, because
more noise makes good times.
Yeah, I think Australians it's on the right path, man. We're doing our thing, and like if you listen to the closeout podcast down in Victoria, like it's always a pumping comp scene down there, and like I think it's kind of happening. If in my opinion, like COVID's gone and things are starting to happen again, and hopefully it just builds into. It doesn't matter what it builds into, but as long as it's something and everyone's getting out there, it's all positive in Australia, I reckon. Especially with the return of the Shark Island Challenge, we are on the map, Luke O'Connor. I love it.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, we're pumped. But dude, but before we go, let's just quickly have a word from one of the first bodyboarders to experience the new Sydney wave pool. What did you reckon, Sean Gregory Cooper?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. I had the honour of going with the NMD versus wave pool party, which was with a whole bunch of all-star cast with Ben Player leading the pack. But it was sick, man. Like, once again, it's very similar to Melbourne, but it is a little bit different. Like, it barrels off the takeoff a bit more, which is something that I noted that is definitely different. So you can actually just, depending on which wave you get, you can scoop straight in and get a little pit. And then you get time to come out, and as you're coming out, it's got a little bit more time before it goes to the steppy ledgy thing. So depending on which wave you get, you can kind of, I saw a really cool, someone that was riding really cool, that was in my group, was Jason Finlay. He would take off right next to the wall and he'd go down and around the actual pit section and drive off the bottom and then actually boost a roll off the first bit. But it wasn't like a floppy roll, like it was actually a projection, like set up, roll, bang, and then he'd go into the next bit and do his thing. Like, it was sick, mate. Watching certain riders out there, like him or Ben, even Toby Player. I saw Toby Player get some amazing waves, the big man himself, and he was it wasn't bothering him. Like, he was surfing like he was 16, eh? It was sick. There was, like, certain people really connected with that wave really well. But yeah, really good for us. Like, the wave's sick. It's as simple as that. It's fun as. So
yeah, again, what's the facilities like? They've been upgraded?
Yeah, like, it's different once again to Melbourne. Like, there's, like you said in your podcast, like it wasn't actually open when we went there. So there's a bar and that wasn't open yet.
Wanted to ask you about that because I got shown that. And it was just like, obviously, in a very I hadn't even put any like fit out in it yet. It was just like the kind of balcony, and you could see where the bar was going to be and whatever. But the viewpoint up there, Coops, like,
yeah,
wow,
no, insane. It was subbly when we were there, like you said, offshore and subbly. And the first set that you see was really special. It was like, oh my god, look at that. So we were lucky to have it. It did go a little bit onshore for one of our sessions, but then it kind of, the wind died off and it was just basically offshore. I reckon the right's a little bit better than the Melbourne right. I never really got the right down in Melbourne. I always found it was good, but the right in Sydney felt a little bit more oomph. I don't know, like, that was just my feeling. Somebody might disagree with me on that, but I think the wind was actually favouring the ride a little bit more too when we were there. So in that southerly, it might, like, it's like really offshore for the right hander. A massive positive that a few of the boys didn't catch on till to the end, and they were like, "No, I didn't know about that." There's like four or five showers on the wall, and it's hot water, so you go in and have a hot shower, like, while you're watching the wave. And, like, mate, it wouldn't surprise me if they turn that off, because all the boys were just standing on there for way too long.
Did you get to go on the pool? At the front?
There was a pool. I did go over to it, but it wasn't hot as of the day I was there. So, because I remember you did say that too, and I went and checked it, but it was just the same water as the actual wave pool. So, but that was, I saw it. It was looking right into the right hander. The hill that blocks the nor'easter. Don't know about that. Don't know if it's going to block much, but I am like, what's the word?
Optimistic. You're optimistic.
Optimistic. I'm optimistic, and I will be proven wrong when I'm proven wrong.
Yeah, you might be, you might not be. Look, I know it's probably only like, it seems like a bit of a small mound, but yeah, I don't think it'll protect the left. I think it will help with the right bit, just kind of funnel the wind more around it. Yeah. That was my logic with it. But yeah, man, if you have a howling nor'easter, I'm sure it's not going to be dead offshore. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, maybe the dead off the nor'easter thing in summer, maybe that might be an issue. But out there, the nor'easter is not as strong, mate. So it's not like at the beach. So it might not be that bad. I think they've done a good job, mate. Having it point towards the southerly, I think that's a good call, because you have to point it some way. If you had to point it as a westerly, let's be honest, East Coast, how often is it west? Like, never. Like, a little bit in winter. Maybe a little bit in spring, I suppose. But, I think the most predominant would be going for the southerly over the nor'easter, because the nor'easters disappear. They're only around in summer, and there's southerlies all year round. So, good call. It was sick, man. That's my answer. But in saying that, I've seen a few of the clips have come out, and I certainly wasn't surfing the way the other boys were. Holy shit. Like, they were ripping, man. It's one thing I've learned about the wave pool is some people really know how to surf it, and other, like, I love surfing it, but I don't think I'm being honest here. I don't think I actually surf it very well. And I think it's because I overthink. I kind of overthink it. I'm thinking too much, like, oh, what should I do? What should I do? Because it's a wave that should be the same. And that kind of fucks me. Whereas in the ocean, you see a good wave coming towards you, and I kind of, like, I don't know, it feels different, and you can kind of, if you don't connect with the wave, you kind of just go, oh, well, fuck, it didn't work out because the wave changed or whatever, something happened. Whereas in the wave pool, it's a bit more predictable, and then that brings, for me, it brought a little bit of extra stress.
I'm thinking about it so much. I guess that there is a flow state when it comes to just having a wave that is presented in front of you, and you just do. You know what I mean? You are doing. You are not thinking. You are just letting your muscle memory do what you need to do on that wave, or you want to do on that wave, and you don't have time in a lineup watching fucking 10 cunts go in front of you, spin into the pit, backflip out. You know,
yeah.
Come around the bow, big roll like Jace Finlay getting barreled away and probably doing a backflip out. Like, you're not watching that going, fuck, I need to set this up. Like, that can happen in free surfs too if the waves are pumping and there's a constant flow of them. But the pool seems to be a lot more of a cauldron of constant eyes on you at all times surfing. So you almost feel the pressure. You know, you're getting filmed at all times. You know, what you do will either make or break you. You're at an NMD wave pool party where you've got multiple world champions present. So, yeah, there's a bit of pressure, Coops. I get you.
Yeah, man. There was. Winston McCall was there. Didn't sing us any songs, but he was there, and everyone was getting autographs on that because he's a full-blown celeb. And that was cool. It's nice to see him again. Yeah, man, like, and you, mate, we had fucking drones flying everywhere, and Brendo was in the water. Ray Collins was on the other side. Like, it was a lot going on, eh? And then, yeah. Like, you just, I don't know. I think I'd probably surf it a little bit better just in a normal session. I've driven up, known, you know, you have your one or two sessions and you just have a surf.
For sure. And there's no thinking. There's just, I'm going to go surf and have fun. And then just
trundle back down the highway and probably go win another Cold Coast Bodybuilding Club.
Well, don't think so. I think that's one and done, mate. I think that's the end of my dream.
But,
boy, one thing I did notice about the pool, what I did connect with the being a bodyboard pool party was I found a bit bigger of a board was better at the pool. I took my normal size board that I ride in, like kind of solid waves, and then like my board that I ride that's a bit longer. And I rode them both, and the bigger one kind of, I think it kind of felt a little bit better, eh? Because you kind of don't need to scoop or anything because the wave's pushing you. So if you've got the bigger board, you're fine in the pit. You know, you're not going to, it's not like a boat in the pit. It felt a bit better. Oi, quickly, I was in Eppo's group,
mm-hmm.
The old world champ, which was a bit of a like celebrity hit, you know what I mean? I was super buzzing on that. He got one wave and he did five rolls. So whoever goes to the wave pool from now, just do whatever you can do, but just picture yourself, just maybe give it a crack. See if you can do five rolls, because I bet you $1 million, no one will ever do five rolls ever again. It's insane. I can't believe he did it, because he just went like roll. He did three off the first section. I don't know how he did it.
Wow, that's amazing.
Like what? When you write it and then you know that in your head, you'll be like, what? Like three? Yeah. Okay. Three is possible. Four is a stretch, like a full stretch. But he did five. So he's a competitive motherfucker. Like he was always trying to up everyone. So it was good. Good on him.
Yeah, I guess that's why he's got that world title next to his name, eh? Some people have that ability to go into battle and others just cruise and enjoy the moment. But, yeah, that's so sick you get to surf with him, man. What a treat. I think he's coming to the Shark on launch party too, so that'll be amazing to have him there.
I think I'll be there. I'm pretty sure I'm invited. I can't remember. I think
bloody so. Oath you're invited, mate. You just make the trip up the highway.
Oh, we're coming. Oh, yeah, that's right. And Brenda's coming too. So we'll be there. Cold Coast will be representing. Yo,
Carl. Yo, Dangerous Ales on the go. Let's have a couple of beers.
Epic. If we don't talk, there's a comp in Antofagasta right now. But it looks pretty small. But we can check in on that. But if we don't talk and the comp runs, mate, all the best. Best luck. Best of luck to you. And hats off to you for all the hard work, mate. You and the boys.
Cheers, brother. Thanks, Coops. Thanks for coming on and wrapping up the comps with us. And, let's do it again soon in a week's time. And we might have multiple comps to talk about.
Mate, I reckon the next one's going to be after the Island comp. Can't wait. We're going to do it fresh too, because there's going to be so much to talk about. I can't wait, mate.
Oh, get the juicy inside goss, mate. Let's spread it over the airwaves. Who did what? What went down at the after parties? Holy shit, it's coming.
Oh, I can't wait, mate. Let's go. All right, mate. Thanks for having me again.
Happy days, Kibbs. Always love having you on. Cheers, bro.
All right, brother. See you, man.
See you, man.